Our reading this morning comes from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" says the Lord. "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings."
I realise that my mobile number is on the notices, but the person who sent me the selfie, I'll speak to you afterwards. It's very important this morning that there are a number of things that are part of what we do. On Ilkamore Batard, on Ilkamore Batard, yes. You are encouraged to hiss. You are encouraged to boo. But most of all, you are encouraged to cheer me. It's good to have a congregation that accepts you. Knew I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to sing another little song, and you'll join in as soon as I start it. You ready? Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away, on my way to where the air is sweet. Can you tell me how to get to... Thank you. There's probably not a child in Australia, there's definitely not one in the USA, who does not know these words. The 40-year-old theme song of the children's television series Sesame Street. Children love it. Parents are tormented by it. Sesame Street. But you wouldn't know how to get to Sesame Street unless you had an address. And you know when you look at it, there is an address at the back. Unless that is, and you can check this out for yourself, you lived in a particular county in the USA called McDowell County. It's located in West Virginia. In McDowell County, streets have long been unnamed. Roads have remained unmapped, as is true in a lot of rural America. So like using a GPS in Australia. Residents don't see the need, so they never got around to naming streets, and they never got around to putting numbers on houses. So if you ask for directions, you might be told to turn at the old stone church, go down three places, and it's the one with the broken white fence. Or go past the old sewing factory and so on. Or look for, very American, look for a dumpster which is painted like a cow. Now times are beginning to change, and addresses are finally appearing in McDowell County in West Virginia. The piece that we heard Matt read is from the prophet Jeremiah, and the prophet wonders whether the people are able to find their way to the potter's house. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It says, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." Where is the potter's house? In the small community, it's probably the case that there is only one potter, so you should be able to find his house. So the prophet, we might imagine, follows a well-known little dirt road, maybe crosses a riverbank, because you need a place where you can gather clay, and finds the potter working at his wheel. And he says, "The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand." Any of you potters or throw pots? I once thought it was a particular, you know, game that you threw pots, and I thought, I'm in this. Then I was reminded that you're not allowed to hurt people. And he reworked this destroyed pot into another vessel, and the final phrase is, "as seemed good to him." Now, Jeremiah presents, and we can work it ourselves, that this parable or little story is an illustration of how God wishes to shape Israel. The clay in the potter's hand was exactly like Israel in God's hand. The prophet realized that God controls the fate of entire groups of people, especially the nation of Israel, as easily as a potter manipulates a lump of clay. Sometimes the clay starts out looking bad, but then improves. Or the verse, and this is so clear. "At one moment," says the Lord, "I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up, break down, and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster I intended to bring on it." One of the great anthropomorphic pieces of the scripture, where God, seeing how his people has changed, changes his mind. We always think of God as being absolutely immutable, unchanging. I mean, there are hymns that go unchanging. Maybe we should rethink some of the lyrics, because here we have a God who does decide to change his mind and change what he had desired with respect to the people and the particular things he was going to bring against the people. At other times, the clay starts out looking very, very good, and then it goes bad. And so we have this verse. "At another moment," says God, "I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, but if it does evil in my sight, then I will change my mind about the good I had intended to do to it." So Jeremiah is suggesting that God is constantly working and reworking us so that we become those vessels that are good to him. "If we turn from evil," says Jeremiah, "we'll be shaped into something wonderful. But if we persist in ignoring God, if we persist in going in those ways which are contrary to God's desires, if we lead selfish, if we lead sinful lives, then we will be radically refashioned and suffer the consequences." As the old hymn goes, and I didn't choose it for us to sing this morning, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." What's the next line of that verse? Come on, you old Methodists, if there are any of you. "Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." No idea what yielded and still means, but anyway, it's rhymes. The hymn was written just over 100 years ago, and it leaves us with a question which is still relevant as we're asking it today. Can we find the potter's house, or is it still off the map to us. I have a Gregory's, which is 1997. And obviously there are certain suburbs and parts of Adelaide which are not on that. And I have a nephew and his wife and young child who live in one of those. And I had to look it up on Google Maps because my street directory in the car doesn't show the suburb. Are some of the ways that we should be as a people off the map for us? As one who practices sociology and psychology, one of the things that stands out in this 20th century, and I suppose it goes back even longer than this 21st century on me, is that we are not so good as a people at waiting, let alone yielding and being still. One of the things that drives us today is we so much want to, and you see this anytime you pick up a magazine or a newspaper or whatever, we want to mould our own lives. We want to be in charge of how that's done. We don't want to allow ourselves to be made or moulded by anyone else. We want to have our own way. We don't want to be part of the way of the divine potter. But sometimes following our own way can leave us in a ditch. When Apple brought out its own maps, you know what happened. If you were driving from Sydney to Melbourne, you would finish up in one of the suburbs of Berlin. If you were driving down a particular roadway in the UK, you know, as it was recorded in the newspaper, four people finished up in the river, whatever it was called. GPS was no good. They decided to follow their own ways, trust in that which was shaping, moulding. But it was not the right way. So if you want to get to the potter's house, I just want to give you a couple of tips. The first tip, of course, is to find the right address. Now, in finding the right address, God is not expecting us to show up in some kind of perfect final form. Nor is it the case that God's waiting for us to arrive so God can jump on us and smash us up for our sins. At the proper spot in the potter's house, God shapes us into the people he wants us to be. And at this address, we are permitted to be a work in progress. And it is important to make a right turn. It's very important for me and Gaynor coming here to take the right turn. When we first started coming here, I turned at Rosedale. Where, of course, if you know you turn at Rosedale, you've got to go back out and then come all the way around again. Not a good idea. It's important to make the right turn. And the word turn in Hebrew appears quite a number of times in this particular passage as Jeremiah places it. It's, as we heard, God speaking of the nation that turns from its evil, calls for Israel to turn now toward me, and also saying, I will change my mind about a nation, which is to say about a people, which is to say about individuals, that turn from evil. And I will change my mind about a nation that turns toward evil. The language of turning, the language of changing, is a language which suggests that nothing is fixed, that everything is changing. And as you turn towards the potter's house, you are shaped, you are reshaped, and you are made in the image of God. Don't worry about what shape you were or are when you come to the potter's house. Don't fixate on any kind of flaws or shortcomings of the past. Don't stress about all the wrong turns that you've made in your life, because the potter can reshape you, help you move in a new direction. In Birmingham, Alabama, there is a church at Brook Hills. It does have an address. 3145 Brook Highland Parkway. But if you go there, it doesn't look like this building looks. It's a mega church with a number of thousand members, but it's made of corrugated iron, scrap wood, plastic tarps, and all kinds of odd bits and pieces that hold it up and make it a place where people can go and worship. And the reason why it is like that is that when the congregation first got together, they were told by their pastor that they could not have and they ought not to have a new church, that is a church building, unless the value of the church building, that value for 1 year by their giving was part of Compassion International's child survival program in India, which was $525,000. So what do? They built a church that looked like it came from downtown slum in Mumbai to remind them of what it was that they had committed themselves to. Every year, before they can proceed with anything that they do, they must raise $500,000 to maintain that program. It took them 5 years of paying $525,000 a year before they began to draw up plans for their own building and so on. Now they have a place that looks like a big mega church place. But they have up the front, and they've got a bigger front than we have, but we could do it too. They have a church built of tarpaulins and bits of wood and iron and so forth up the front to remind them of the church and the place that they support and where they came from. And every year they commit themselves to, yes, praying for the world, reading the Bible, giving money to building a particular community. But each year they seek for a number of their members who make a commitment to go into the most disadvantaged parts of their city and build the downtown Mumbai church, worship there and serve that community. Now, having heard that, I want to say to you here at Morialta that not every church, is called to put up plastic tarps in the sanctuary and do that. But every church should find a way, its own particular way, to focus on mission. Not every Christian is called to move into a disadvantaged area of the city. But every Christian must find an address for doing good in the world. God is always shaping us, and we need to participate in that transformation. As God says to the people of Israel, "Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings." Amend your ways, amend your doings. Allow the divine potter to make you and mould you according to his will. And lest you think that that is too much for you as an individual, that you just can't do it alone, let me remind you of the activity before. That if you have a look at your phone, you'll see not just yourself, but the others who are going to do it with you. You might want to check as to who they are, and those of you who are on that group as the other selfies might be panicking right now about, "Oh God, I've just signed myself up to support so-and-so in what we do as a group." The person who sent me that particular message whilst I was sitting down over there, "You and I are going to work on that together." And now let's sing again, "Lord, we hear your word with gladness."